All right. I don't know if you saw the video. It's a woman. She's swimming in Cape Town. And she's swimming along, you know, around one of the beaches, around the beachfront, like the sea point, that kind of area. And there's bubbles in the sea. It's on her face and it's in her hair. And it's very scary because they're brown bubbles. And it turns out that it's actually raw sewage. What are the actual dangers of it? I mean, you're in seawater. It's packed with salt. Isn't salt a preservative? Doesn't, you know, don't we use salt water to purify things? Is it as dangerous? I mean, aside from being really gross, is it as dangerous as we imagine it to be? Joining me right now is Dr. Joe Barnes, who's an epidemiologist and senior lecturer at the Stellenbosch University Faculty of Health Sciences. Dr. Barnes, good afternoon and thank you for your time. Have you seen the video?
Good afternoon to you and to our listeners. Yes, I have seen.
Were you horrified?
Well, I don't get horrified because I sample these waters and I have to wade into them, but I can quite understand that members of the public are disgusted. Unfortunately, you know, there are various reasons why the sea can foam, but raw sewage being released or in large quantities is one of them. And if the reason is raw sewage, then of course it is dangerous. Salt doesn't kill everything, and the concentration, the sewage comes with its own nutrients, if I can put it like that. So that just dilutes the salt, and the organisms that can make you ill are have got their food at hand, so they can multiply and make you ill. There are a lot of things that can be transmitted via water that have been contaminated, and that one of them is skin infections, eye and ear infections, of course a whole range of diarrhea diseases, etc. So yes, you certainly can get ill from that. A lot depends on the concentration, of course.
Yes.
But when it comes to the point where it's stinking to high heaven, then you can be sure that the concentration is high.
So interesting. I mean, I would have thought that, okay, so you get out of the sea and you shower off and, you know, maybe you're okay. I mean, are there real risks of swimming in water like that, aside from the gross factor?
Yes, of course there are. If you have even the smallest little wound somewhere in your skin, the organisms can get in there. But most of it, you either breathe in because of the... there's a mist that hangs over the seawater. It moves all the time, and also depending on the concentration, whatever splashes on your lips. And it's almost impossible, if you're really swimming, not just standing there cooling off, but really swimming, almost impossible not to take in small amounts of water.
I feel faint having this conversation with you.
Sorry to be so graphic, but that's a reality.
It's not even graphic. I mean, Johannesburg, and I'm freaking out for this poor woman.
You're safe.
You know, the sea does have other dangers, though. I mean, I remember we had a very well-known open water swimmer who, years ago, actually swam through an oil slick and got very, very well. I never realized that it was so toxic.
We haven't even touched on the chemical pollution that comes with the sewage, because there are a whole lot of antibiotics in there. There are a whole lot of personal care products. We're picking up ARVs, you know, the treatment for HIV.
Yes.
in the water. And there is, of course, a whole host of microplastics in there as well. So it is the point is, and that is what we've been so attacked by the city of Cape Town. The point is that sewage must be kept out of the environment, whether it's a river or a street or leaking sewage from a sewage treatment plant, and that is right across South Africa. It's not just local, it is right across South Africa. We have failing municipal services for sanitation, and one of the reasons I can promise you from the heart, because I've been working in this field for 30 years,
yeah.
is that the municipalities are their own auditors. They generate the data that says it is safe.
Why isn't it regulated? I mean, if we think about it, why are our municipal services not regulated?
Belgium has just announced a big chemical contamination in one area for the same reasons. The municipality said it's safe and nobody actually bothered anymore. And a few years later, about 7 years later, when people started showing all these cancers and whatever, it is now found out that there's a very high level of contamination, and the municipality just shrugged it off at the time. So this is what we are dealing with. It is not just South Africa, but it's particularly prevalent in South Africa, that the municipalities are in a way hiding the fact that their systems are not coping with the volumes that are needed. They are poorly maintained. They are far too small for the number of people that flow into the towns and cities, and they just simply did not keep up. And it's always so tempting to the easiest way to cope is denial.
It's so interesting because that's exactly what the government has done, right? I mean, I'm raising ARVs because that's what you raised. But you know, a few weeks ago there was that report that was done by, in fact, I think it was University of the Northwest, if I'm to be corrected. But I think it was
that's
the University
right.
of
no,
Northwest.
No, you're right.
And and they found that these ARVs are in the water. Right, in our rivers,
exactly.
It's happening in our rivers and our drinking water. It's in our drinking water,
If we can jump over to drinking water, our ability to clean microplastics and antibiotics and all of those other medications out of drinking water in vast places in South Africa, that the municipality does not have that ability to do that. So it is also very expensive in some ways. So and then I see the Department of, I think it was Health, or could have been Water and Sanitation. ARVs at those low concentrations can't harm you.
Oh yeah, that was the Department of Health. Yeah.
They have no basis for saying that. The work for that has not yet been done, because South Africa is the country with the most number of people on ARVs, and we don't know what the levels are up to, where harm will start kicking in. So that's just another version of denial. And what is so hard for us as scientists is that in order to cope with the negative publicity that you've also picked up on this, they attack our integrity and our person.
Yeah. Well, that's the first.
So it's the easiest way is to discredit the messenger, and it is not going to work in the long run. But by the time they eventually have to admit, like the city of Cape Town, people can see that there's a sewage in places around the coast. They can smell it, etc. So when you deny, you lock yourself into a corner, because if you admit it now, it meant you lied yesterday. So they just have to keep on denying. People who use denial as a coping strategy does themselves a great amount of harm. And I do want to quote my grandmother to you, who said, "You cannot talk your way out of problems you behaved yourself into."
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. You cannot talk your way out of problems that you behaved your way into. Craig, please write that down. Absolutely, Craig's my engineer. That is absolutely incredible. What a wise woman. Well, you can see where her apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Dr. Jo Barnes.
Thank you. And that does mean that you know, again, that trying to talk problems away is just one other form of denial. So I'm desperately wanting, me and my co-authors, we've been working from three universities down here in the Western Cape for the past almost 11 years and telling each, and it's not only one municipality, that your sewage treatment services are polluting the country and the environment and doing health risks, causing health risks to the population.
Because they're not working properly. But they're not working properly.
No, they aren't. Nowhere in the country is this. In fact, eventually now, a couple of weeks ago, the Department of Water and Sanitation's high-ranking official admitted that sewage treatment in South Africa is in crisis.
It is in crisis.
We've got there now.
And can I just tell you something, Dr. Barnes? No, seriously, like... years ago, maybe 12 or 13 years ago, I had a conversation with a guy who was working in water technology. And he explained to me that in sewage, there's like this little flap that separates solids from liquids, right? The liquids go to one side and the solids. That little flap had broken, and so they just left it. And now you've got this mix of solids and everything is just... crumbling. It's just all turning to the proverbial, you know what, I can't say it on radio, but that's what it is.
Exactly. And I'm sad to have to tell you that a lot of us have put in a lot of work, and all we did got was damage to our careers and damage to our name, threats. I've even had death threats over the phone, etc. The situation is now, at first gradually, as these things do, and then very much faster all the time, is now running downhill. And I'm very, very grateful to be able to talk to you.
Anytime. You're really a keeper. You're a keeper because you're a straight talker. You're not scared to tell the truth. And in this country, in fact, in the world today, it is so rare to find somebody who will stand by their convictions. And you know what? I'm telling you now that you are welcome on this radio station anytime. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I don't want to do in hard-working officials, but the mid-ranking officials can get as little done as we as scientists can. This is a political issue.
Yeah,
and we,
I hear it.
And it is dampened down by the politicians, and however long I have left on this earth, I will pop their balloons.
Amazing. Dr. Jo Barnes, thank you very, very much. She's an epidemiologist, senior lecturer at the Stellenbosch University Faculty of Health Sciences. Isn't it a breath of fresh air to hear a scientist who is not scared to say and to call it like it is?